All right, and welcome everybody. Duels here with my man Steven, and this is Figure It Out. And yeah, what are we gonna get into first here?
When are we gonna talk about millennials and politics?
Yeah, that's a funny thing. I'm just started off here. Yeah, millennials are, you know, there's the growing disillusionment with, you know, the government and politics and everything else. And it's especially prevalent within millennials. And I was joking with Steven that basically I believe that's because, like, that should be evident because, I mean, the best president that we've had since we've been alive has been Bush. And he's signing the Patriot Act, so.
A lot of people would argue that that Bill Clinton was the best.
Who would argue that?
I mean, that's just what I hear when I listen to, like, people talk about, you know, past presidents and stuff. They talk about how great it was to have
within our lifetime. You think even Clinton was a better president?
Oh, I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with that. I don't remember that too well. I remember him getting in trouble, you know, with the whole what's her face scandal. But I mean, other than that, I don't remember the presidency too well. I didn't care back then. You know, I was a kid.
What was funny, Clinton's whole thing is, man, he was a smooth operator. But that dude, like, everything he did was, like, very, you know, like, I don't get how, like, any Democrat, you know, worth their salt knows that all of Clinton's, like, policies that he enacted and everything were very, you know, conservative, like, actually, they tried to do but failed at it. You know, he implemented, like, very, like, Reagan-esque things, and because, like, his whole mentality was about, like, you know, believing in, this is how things are, so we have to live in, like, this Reagan world, and, you know. Right.
I'm not saying that he was better. I'm just saying that, you know, based on what I've heard from, you know, discussing politics with other people, it seems like everybody thinks that Bill Clinton was the best in our modern times. But
that's interesting.
I really did like George Bush. The only problem with Bush was that he's a terrible speaker.
He'd say some silly ass shit, but, like, they made some, but I don't, like, because, you know, that's the media likes to fucking blow shit up, like,
and, like, most media is left wing too, so they're gonna hate on any Republican that's in office regardless of how good they are. But
yeah, and I mean, like, Bush just had, like, a funny way about his speech, you know, whereas, like, so does Trump, but he didn't say near as, like, off the wall shit as, like, some of the shit Trump's been saying, you know.
Oh, I know. I never really cared about politics until I got to watch, you know, Donald Trump run for president and become president. It's been really fun to watch. It's never been more entertaining than it is now.
Well, for me, it was actually really scary. It wasn't until after he became, now that he is president, of where I'm, like, kind of having fun, because I'm like, all right, I'm in the belly of the beast. Like, I got front row seats here to fucking watch this bitch burn. So might as well, you know, pop open a cold one. I'm being
right.
Joking. It's just, but when he was actually running, like I really felt like he was gonna win. Like, even
primaries?
I'm you really fast, but the primaries. And
you know, I thought you had a good shot too. Even when it was when they're doing the debates for who was actually going to be running for the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, I was like, I think Donald Trump's got a good shot.
I actually helped run the election polls for both the primaries and the election, and so when I was doing the ballots for the primaries, I was like, oh, like, fuck, dude, you know. Wow. And even before that, like going into it, like just his campaign, like, you know, like other people were looking at him like he was a joke, and I was getting pissed because I was like, no, take this seriously. He's gonna eat like the. Like, he's going to do so much damage to this that, like, it'll never be the same again. He's going to, you know, he's going to ruin everything of it. He's going to cause so much divide and everything that's just going to, you know, ruin everything beyond repair.
No, I think this is good chaos. I really do.
I felt that fear when he was running, right? Wow. I was like, no, like, everyone stop taking this as a joke. Like, how do you not see that this guy is going to fucking win? And so
I was getting really pissed about it. I don't think the team saw it either. I think they were caught off guard too. I don't think.
Yeah, that's because they were stupid. Yeah. Like, all the liberal media was like, oh, we're so blinded. How did this happen? Like, are you guys fucking serious? Like, I feel like none of the, like, these fucking reporters, like, didn't go out and, like, talk to actual American people. Cause, like, I was telling you, like, I was traveling all across the states during that time, and there was no doubt in my mind that like Trump was gonna win. I was like, are you even talking to people? Like why are you like they're so stupid? They try to show like a distorted view of like his rallies, like a distorted view of like people who they like interview and shit, and it was stupid. But then, yeah, no, once he won, and like now I feel, cause I kind of feel like, hopefully, you know, the damage that he's done is pretty much done. Like, I think a lot of that was done, you know, within, the elections. Mm-hmm. So now it's just like, and also I found that, you know, the powers that be actually put a lot of restraints on him, more so than I thought was going to happen. So yeah. I was like, oh, okay. You know,
he's still finding ways to cause chaos. So
yeah, right.
Fires people at random. I mean.
Yeah, that's gonna go in a whole nother direction. I can't wait to see that with all the firing and stuff. Because, like, I mean, someone's getting fired and replaced. Like he was the freaking apprentice host, right? Like, it's his favorite thing. You're fired. But yeah, now that like he's done the damage of the divide, like it shed a lot of light on things, and now I think it really offered the country the chance that it needs to heal. I think the country needed that. Hopefully, you know,
getting reelected in 3 years,
he's going to try to cause a lot more damage, of course. But you know, but like I said, there's people actually doing their jobs of keeping the checks and balances into play. Which actually restored my hope a lot more than I really thought was going to happen in regards
to. I explained that to a lot of people after the election too, is that it's not going to be Donald Trump running everything, making all the decisions. There's still Congress and the House of Representatives that he has to pass things through before you know, anything can be, you know, for sure. But yeah, it's and I mean, it's kind of scary thing. Well, we got this, you know, this I don't know the right word to describe Donald Trump, but we got Donald Trump running our country right now. But
He's right. Is that what he's done?
But yeah, I mean, there's still up to a whole lot of other people before any major decision gets made. You know, things don't just run through Trump.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, then I might be concerned, but now I'm just entertained. I kind of saw this coming, but
Yeah, I don't know. The checks and balance are way better than I gave credit for before. So, it actually restored my faith in certain things in a sense. And,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course, really, I'm still in the faction of, you know, we need to take all this power away from the government anyways and put it in the hands of the people because.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean, even rights, even you know, your human born rights, like if the government feels like it one day, they could just take that away, you know, like because if you're born in this country, for instance, you know, you've always had the right to bear arms. That was as an American, that's a right that you're born with, right? And well, of course, I don't even I'm even more radical than that. I don't believe my rights stem from a piece of paper. I'm just like I'm a human being. Therefore, those are my rights, and
right.
like fight me on it, you know. But yeah. But as born in America, you're born with that Second Amendment right, and that is, you know, that's really been a hot topic recently. They're trying to take our guns, our guns, and fucking steal.
I don't see how people don't understand that the guns aren't the issue. I mean, granted. The U.S. is far and away having the most mass shootings of any country in the world, but I don't think that's because guns are legal here. I think that has something to do with how we handle like mental instabilities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like with this Florida shooting, I mean, the guy was basically saying he was going to kill everybody and then he did it and everybody acted surprised. You know what I mean?
That was just a breakdown of every important. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like everyone who's supposed to protect us failed, you know, from the security there to the FBI. And
yeah.
people you want to take more rights away from the law-abiding citizens and put more power to these guys who failed you, like and it's so sick how they always try to use these incidents, which you know, granted how rare they are still, you know, just fucking like ridiculous tragedy that like you know, of course, but like so and they have this sick way of like twisting these things for their own political means that I think that's really you know, like a Machiavellian type of evil. it's right. Sick. And
yeah, it's like the simple solution. We'll just take the guns away instead of fixing the real problems. Like putting the band-aid
on. And the thing, a lot of people don't really is the people who they'd be hurting is the main ones who they you know they feed this rhetoric to, and you know they're showing like. You know, because for instance, the whole like AR-15 thing, you know, they want to. I actually just found out about this like earlier today or yesterday.
Change the fox on them or something like that.
They want to take they want to get rid of ARs. Excuse me, but it's so silly. Like, I actually found this, statistically, the AR actually happens to be the most. Like common gun that women use for protection in their homes, like because you know by their
they go big, huh?
And it's this same party that they're like, oh, you know, we need to do things to protect our women and stuff, and then like, wait, but you want to take their right to the you know the who should have guns like the most to like defend themselves, and you want to take their guns. It's so nonsensical.
Right. Yeah. It's like they need to be able to defend themselves, but not with this.
Yeah. We need to protect women. Let's take away the main gun that women use in their homes to protect themselves. Here's
some pepper spray and a taser.
Yeah. Good luck with that. while the bad guy is still gonna have it's like, no, enforce the laws that we have into place. Like, oh my god.
That kind of reminds me of the show I started watching about. It's a Netflix documentary about Flint, Michigan.
Mm. When are they getting water, by the way? Shout out to Flint.
We got like a third world country in the middle of our first world country. Like, that's basically
we've got a lot of those, though. Have you been to Detroit recently?
I have never. I've never been to Michigan. Is it all of Michigan that's fucked up? Is that what's going on?
I guess there's nice parts of Michigan, but like
by the lake,
maybe. you gotta go right by the lake, then you're golden.
Far away from any major city, yeah. Anything that GM was basically a part of, right?
Well, it's because, like, no, GM was a good thing. It was when GM went under.
I thought they moved. They went to a cheaper place.
Yeah, they got basically priced out. There was a whole bunch of, you know, of course, like government rulings and stuff, like pricing, like, because interesting enough, and that's another thing, it really hurt the black population, because was a place where like black people were like fleeing to Detroit with the GM boom, you know, and
crap, right?
And so like
we'll bring them all here and then we'll shut it all down and they'll be stuck in Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. So when corporate greed kicked into place and they moved up to try to get more money, and then that ended up biting them in the ass, right? Then all those black people who like went for the American dream and like fought their hardest to like, you know, like go and like make that happen, moved from all the way down at the ends of the South, you know, to be a part of GM and like provide for their families, then they were just like left up Schitt's Creek, you know, without a paddle.
There's a lot of money out there. Back when I was in the documentary, this guy was saying, when I moved out here, the median household income was like $84,000 a year. It was one of the highest in the country at the time. And then and now it's at like 21,000 a year or something like that. I could be screwing.
Wait, it went from what to what?
Like 84,000 a year to 21,000 a year. That could be household income or it could be personal income. I might be wrong on that, but
not to mention half that 21,000 is gonna get fucking ransacked. Detroit's a mess. You have spots there that literally look like a third world country, and then like you know even back at my spot in LA, like if you go down Skids Row, you know, like it's funny because they try to gentrify it and everything, right? And like, oh, and you know, normally and then the right would say, oh, gentrification is a good thing because that's gonna, you know, change things like this way. And like, no, that shit like just came back around because like, you know, they're sweeping up the homeless in the fucking buses. They're always fucking with them, taking them to prison, harassing them. And then
they gotta wind up somewhere. They don't just disappear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And eventually they just drifted back in droves, and now it's getting pretty sketch out there again. Like we'll see what happens. But you know, yeah, Tent City is back big and booming, baby.
Had one of those in Fresno too. I remember
the one in Fresno.
I went and worked or volunteered at the Pavarella house out in Fresno one time. It's a homeless shelter, or at least they feed the homeless. That was interesting.
Yeah, I did that at one in Santa Barbara.
There's homeless people in Santa Barbara?
Yeah. You know, of course. First of all, easy, because like, you know, like I had my stint of my hobo rounds, and Santa Barbara, one of the easiest places to be homeless, bar none. Like the weather never gets too extreme, and like there's plenty of services all around.
As long as you're not causing any problems, you're good.
Yeah. And like some of the shelters are actually pretty decent condition. They have the Salvation Army and like little spots where you could go and, you know, get free food even. Like, yeah, dude, like you could be homeless in Santa Barbara and pretty much still live the life, man. No, it's funny. Despite the growing homeless problem in the States, kind of a very weak silver lining is that, despite all that, our indigent in this country are still far wealthier than, you know, than the poor in any, like, almost anywhere else.
Yeah. No, yeah. On a world scale, to be in the top 1%, you only have to make about $35,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty attainable.
Well, I mean, because if you think about it, most countries are third world.
Yeah.
So, so those averages are going to be heavily skewed. You know what I mean? There's only so many, because obviously, like, we don't have any, like actual free trade. Like, I don't, you know, people argue me on this. So send in your questions, argue me on this. But we don't have an actual free trade, but we have a far greater free trade than most anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, places with like very restricted free trade, like, you know, like the Congo or something, you know, and how, like where they have like virtually no free trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't stand a fighting chance because they're just not with the rest of the world. So, well, the world has this, you know, world economy, and, you know, being that the world is so small now and everything's so tight, you know, the United Nations, the countries that choose not to partake in that, they're shooting themselves in the foot at this point. Like, it's like, yeah, like, you know, good on them for trying to stand independent as in their sovereignty or whatever, but like, it just doesn't work in today's age.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's about the world economy now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, And that's not to sit obviously down with globalism, but like, I'm not advocating for that, but in regards that, you know, free trade works, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
for your country to be successful is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta work with everybody else now, you know, you can't just.
Yeah, because I mean, because your country's going to be limited on, you know, some resource. There, you know, there's no Wakanda.
A lot of resources.
You know, there's no Wakanda here in the real world where, you know, a country's just going to have unlimited resources of everything, you know. So it's like yes, you need to trade, like, obviously. So speaking of which, that draws me to the point of, dude, what is up with Trump's recent statements on trade?
You're still gonna have to enlighten me on that one, because I did not look that up.
Basically, dude, like, I guess he's trying to implement, like, I think it was like a 25% tariff on steel or something, and basically really trying to break down free trade into like a lose sum game, unless someone's like the victor in it. like just really, really atrocious policies.
Because I mean, you would think, if Trump was good at any part of politics, it would be like, you know, the business end. But business decision, you know what I mean?
Well, no. See, here's the thing. He's a businessman, but he's clearly not an economist. You know, going off
declared bankruptcy several times too, right? So.
Is, you know, especially with, you know, the statements on it and how he goes, because, you know, I've always felt it, like, you know, Trump, like, a lot of people go on the hoorah of, oh, like, Trump's a narcissist. No, like, if anything, he's maybe he's a xenophobe, but like honestly, I think it's really just that he's so narcissist that like I don't think Trump has the time to be like racist or anything. I think he's just so narcissistic that he don't give a fuck about nobody but Trump. Like, he just wants to win. You know what I mean? And he thinks, since he's the leader, that if he's winning, then everyone's winning. I really think he breaks it down to that, like, in regards of why he thinks, you know, he's the fucking man.
Well, that's a scary thought, because, like, you know, after he won the election, it's like, well, now what? Now you're running a country for 4 years. You got, hey, you won. Here you go. This is your prize.
Hey, well, you know, he actually just recently announced his re-election. Did you hear about that?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was talking about the 2018. Voting in the 2020, and I mean, thank goodness for the 20. I don't know, because, like, honestly, I don't know. I can't, this one's the tough one to prove. I either see the strong leftists coming out in droves,
know, we might have more than just two people going at it gets down to the main election in the next one, because we might have just so many people coming out trying to fix whatever damage has been done at this point.
Well, yeah, but before we touch on the 2021 when he reruns, I want to, like, just the 2018 one, like, I really could see, I don't know, because I could kind of see, like, strong leftists coming out in droves to, you know, to start winning the House and Congress and everything, to really take extreme power and with Trump in there, they could fuck shit up, I feel like. But honestly, cause like, when I was calling for the DNC and stuff, and like HRC and shit like that, like, I feel like the Democratic Party is so split that I don't know, man. Like Bernie left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, you know, like, because there's a lot of people who donated a shit ton, where, like, they thought, like, all right, I'm donating to the DNC. And then they went and just peddled all that money to Hillary, and really disrespected a lot of voters to where, you know, there's strong disillusion. Like it pretty much left the Democratic Party in disarray to where like they're doing all these things of trying to rebrand. And, you know, I've seen some things that are just like laughably silly. I've seen other things that were like, okay, maybe this could be a strong rebranding, but like, I don't know. It's just bad. But so like,
isn't that funny though, everybody was thinking that the Republican Party was in shambles after the last election when Obama won for the second term. They thought the Republican Party was, I read articles where they were talking about the Republican Party being done. Man.
But I think some of that was leftist propaganda, probably. But partially that was true. Cause like there was things, cause like that was when the alt-right started spawning. That's when the Tea Party started gaining more traction. So yeah. There were these factions divides appearing.
I'm gonna have to take it over though.
What's that?
No other group was strong enough to like fill that void though. You know, like if the Republican Party did fall apart somehow, who else would come in, you know, to replace them? Because it can't just be Democrats all the time, right? Somebody's gotta come in. There's gotta be opponents, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish more people would vote green. Go Jill Stein. But I don't know. I feel like still, even though there was those factions appearing within the right, it wasn't nearly as strong as like how disillusioned, you know, Bernie fans got. Like, because like, you know, a lot of Bernie supporters that went ahead and voted for Trump, you know, because like regardless that populist movement was strong.
A lot of them wanted Bernie because they didn't want Hillary. Like they really didn't want Hillary.
Well, yeah, no, there was that to it too. But also just the you know, that was a huge part, definitely. But then just the, you know, the whole populist movement kind of thing. You know, that's just been prevalent all around the world, you know, from Brexit to even like well, that's more of a dictatorship, but like we got so like Sweden is needs to change up, like, because like Sweden's leftism is fucking them over now,
and that used to be one of the best places to live, right?
To whose standards?
I could have sworn it was Sweden, as far as what is it? Just a quality of living out there. But I thought it was Sweden, but I could.
Sweden's really small, man. Like, I don't know. It's still funny when people make comparisons to like the state's problems to like problems of like Canada and Sweden.
Like, there's no way we can afford to have universal health care because we have 350 million people versus Canada's 40 million. Canada can just send, you know, any patient that has some serious like cancer, they can just send them off to another country that does have cancer treatment center. And then
they ship them off anyway. And Canada can't even like their healthcare system may be like just on the fringes. Like if they have a big like baby boomer generation in Canada, like they're barely holding on to their system as is.
We can't afford to do that. But there's no way we can make that happen. Yeah, but everybody's like, how come we can have universal healthcare? Well, it's not possible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Canada has far less people than us. And it's like, and I don't know, I wouldn't trade the state's problems for fucking Canada's problems. Like, I'll take it. Like, 'cause Yeah, like, are a lot of things worse? Like, sure, but like you're dealing with a way grander scale, and we have greater freedoms than they do, and like I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, what was I gonna jump to? Oh yeah, so yeah, but like jumping from the 2018 stuff though, 2020, like. I'm gonna throw this out. Some people may like laugh at this as like conspiracy shit, but like let's have some fucking fun with it.
Right,
so the honest candidate, obviously Oprah's not happening. Also, that'd be atrocious. Anyone thinks that Oprah would be a good candidate is a fucking idiot. Sorry.
I would be entertained by it though. I would like to see it. I would like to see her try.
But you know who they really would have a stronger, you know, Kamala Harris over here in California, actually. Mm-hmm. There could be a strong push for her, you know, because like they really want to see this woman president thing happen. Despite, like, it's so stupid. They need to pick the best woman for the job, like not just because she's a woman, like. Mm-hmm. I mean, I voted for Jill last time, but you know, because she's a shit, you know. you can't vote for so because you got to vote for the best person, whether if it's a white male or if it's a black woman. Like, you get vote for the fucking best person. Like, quit with the identity. Fucking politics, you know.
Yeah, and the color of your skin doesn't matter. The whether you have a dick or a vagina doesn't matter. It's all about who can run our country the best. Who
can do the job the best? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but yeah, I know Kamala Harris is going to have a big push. And you know, my like way out there things that I know no one's believing me on yet, but you know, we'll see. I think there's going to be a strong push for Jay-Z.
I'm serious.
I'm serious. I really think they're making the waves right now to like put Jay-Z as like a you know, because everybody's like, all right, Kanye lost it. You know what I mean? Like, ain't nobody voting behind it.
I might have to move if Kanye West becomes president, but.
I mean, Kanye may try to make a bounce back, and then it'll be like Jay-Z and Kanye square off kind of shit.
He's got 3 years to get his shit together.
I guess he's got a lot of tirades, man. He's got a lot of ground to make up now. Yeah. But Jay-Z, on the other hand, you know,
well-established entrepreneur, obviously proven that he knows he's business savvy, like he knows how to run mm-hmm. shit.
He's a businessman.
I feel comfortable with Jay-Z running our country.
Really? Stop it. We go from WWE apprentice Trump to 99 problems and a bitch ain't one fucking Jay-Z. See, that's why America is great.
Only in America.
That's why America is great.
I go there when Arnold Schwarzenegger became our governor. It was bound to happen eventually.
I voted for the man. He was great. He was a great governor. Like I remember everyone gave us so much flack about that shit. They're so stupid. He was like one of the best governors we've had in like, probably since I've been alive.
That guy loves California. He he was not going to fuck it up on his watch.
Yeah, no, and he made sure that because like when he like because, you know, you could tell like when he didn't know something, like he like congregated with his team and like made shit happen. Mm-hmm. Like there is no
problem. Just bullshit people until he figures it out.
Yeah, dude, he was going to terminate those problems. Serious.
every time somebody had a question he didn't have the answer for, he was like, I'll be back.
Straight up, yeah. Oh my God, we're such California kids. I love it. We're the fucking worst state. The United States is already like such a fucking like ethnocentric country, and like California is the epitome of that. Right.
If
United States is the center of the world, right?
And California is the center of the United States. Yeah.
Totally.
That pisses the rest of the United States off too. So many people can't stand Californians.
I read an article the other day about these
people that moved up to, it was either Portland. I want to say it was Portland. From California, and the
general
vandalized their house and their car, said, "Move back to California. We don't want you here." I don't know what the Californians did to deserve that. They might have been acting
first of all,
Californian.
Learn how to build the fucking roads.
they might have had it coming. I don't know, but the Portlandians were not happy.
Oh, God. I mean, speaking of what, Portlandia is great. It's a hipster show for hipsters.
I watched it. Yeah.
It's like for us, by us, you know. it's like the
food. I see that everywhere now. Like a lot of these shows that I watch and movies that I watch is like, or like kids shows and stuff. Now that I see, it's all about like what it was like growing up in the 90s, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like right before cell phones and stuff like that.
What is with all this memberberry shit, man? Like, what the fuck do you mean? What was it growing up in the 90s? It fucking sucked, man.
Any other decade, you know?
Yeah, it's like your fucking rosy shaded glasses. Like, whenever you look back, it's always worse. What the fuck are you talking about? Civil rights, women's suffrage. Oh, yeah, man. None of that shit happened. Like what are you talking about? Things are always better. It's always better.
Like, whenever I was saying, like, how did you guys make anything happen before you had cell phones? Like,
it's so funny because it's like, it's like we always have to fight. There's always bullshit we have to go through, and it sucks, and there's struggle, and there's pushback. But then once we get past that, then it's better. Do we have wars? Like here and there, but like no one really even like wants to go to war anymore. You know?
Getting people to take that step forward, though. I mean, they fight it the whole way. We all do.
That's why one thing I couldn't. Fucking Hillary's ass was really perpetuating, bringing back that Cold War, man. People don't want to listen to him because he lies about so much shit. But when Trump was like, "Yo, forget about Russia." I'm burping all over the place. When Trump was like, "Forget about Russia," like, yeah, dude, fucking forget about Russia. Like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to bring back the past and like make Cold War 2.0? Like no, he's making peace there. Like no, he's being strong on the matter, you know? And like you know, like I'm the most fucking, you know, I'm always talking shit. Like, I'm gonna be the most fucking critical of the president always, like whether it's fucking Obama's ass, who I had a lot of fucking problems with, or if it's Trump's ass, and give credit where credit is due, dude. Like, quit the bullshit with this delusion of like, oh my God, like Russia's taking over our country. they completely overruled our democracy. Yeah, Russia. Russia is just in one foot. They just derided our democracy. And I watch Russia talk. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I watch Fox too. But yeah, like,
Well, and then just like to set everybody straight, like not just Russia, but also everybody who is uneasy about how Trump handled the whole Russia thing or where Trump stood on the whole Russia thing. He just throws a MOAB at Syria real quick. He's like, if anybody wants to fuck with me, here's what I got. And he just drops a big ass bomb on him just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, does anybody still question whether or not anybody's going to fuck with me? Russia's not going to do nothing about this. You guys aren't going to do anything about this. He's like, I got it under control. All right. Just let it go.
Yeah. And as he should on that, because like, come on.
It might have been overkill, maybe just a little bit, but
no, I don't think it was. Because I mean, and why is everyone getting their panties twisted over free? Like they act like Putin is like Lenin or something. Like honestly, like yeah. The states, look, the states have their problems. Russia has their problems. But come on, man. like, I don't know. It's so stupid, dude. Like, do you really want, like, do you really want another Cold War? Like, what are you trying to do here?
I remember, like,
that's not going to end well for anyone. You know? But
Putin's not in either. He's not trying to have
like,
that
problem. Like, quick little refresher that almost ended in the entire world being nuked. So, but yeah, but let's bring that one back.
Yeah, we're all everybody was practicing hiding under their desks for nuclear bombs.
Literally though, you know that they literally had tapes that they showed kids in school to freaking duck and cover for a nuclear bomb.
This will increase your chances by 0.00001%.
Oh God. You should see all these cockroaches fucking crawling over people. Sons of bitches.
Oh man. Yeah. So you really think George Bush was the best president of our times?
Than anyone else in our lifetime. Yeah.
And, you know, I defended him his whole presidency too. And I would never like bash him in any way. Like I feel like he did a great job as well. It was hard to defend him though, because every time he had a speech, like it was like, what the fuck?
Well, no, I mean, I was for like a lot, you know, of course there's going to be like criticisms on thing, but you know, like, of course, like the No Child Left Behind wasn't perfect. And that was, I think initiated by a president before him, but he was the one who put it in place, and it was a step in the right direction, and he did that a lot, you know, not, like with several but of course he had a lot of glaring issues where because he wasn't really against the whole like war in the Middle East shit until he stepped his foot in there. You know, we gotta search for weapons of mass destruction. Oh, there are none. Oh, that was just really bullshit to go to war over there. And then once he went over to war there, oh yeah, this fucking sucks. We need to get the fuck out. Yeah, no shit, dude.
I felt like that was him like trying to one up his dad or like be better than his dad was in some way.
His dad was wrong when he did it, and his dad gave a bunch of weapons and bombs and like you know a lot of military equipment and shit to fucking terrorists. So don't one up your dad there. Do the opposite.
Actually finishing the job instead of going over there for 10 days and then.
Yeah, right. He's trying to finish the job his dad did, but his dad was fucking evil.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bush Jr. Your dad sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard to say, but yeah, like for me, like when I look at a president, like any president in the past, I don't look at necessarily what happened during their presidency. I mean, I look at the shit that they had to deal with, but you don't really see the full effects until after the presidency is over.
Right.
And okay. So the president that gets to take credit for all the stuff that the last president just fixed. You know what I mean? Right.
But, okay. Speaking of on that tangent, one of the things, you know, of course, where I was just like, yo, let's impeach this motherfucker. The Patriot Act, because where am I wrong in my sentiment about that? Like, what? Because honestly, I feel like, you know, that had some bad blowback when it was first signed, but I feel like, honestly, like corporations like Facebook and stuff have been doing worse things, like giving our privacy to the government in ways that they're exploiting people more so even than when the Patriot Act was signed into place. But you know, of course, you know, things grow a ton. So what are your thoughts on that, of like just how maybe you think the Patriot Act is affecting us now? And do you think, you know, the blow just kind of softened over time, or do you think some of the laws and even things like net neutrality are coming into place due to precursors like the Patriot Act? Or I don't know. Like I'm just spitballing here, but what are your thoughts on that?
Now, what exactly was the Patriot Act again? I heard about it, but I never really read up on it.
Basically, it gave law enforcement the ability to really invade your privacy and going.
It's about like listening in on phone calls and being able to read text messages and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And also like wiretaps without your notice, record searches, surveillance searches. But one of the really big problems with it was of like basically being able to have open and constant surveillance on people if they thought they were a terrorist, without defining like terrorism within that act. So giving it a very broad term of like, cause like, well, who's a terrorist? You know, it's like, right. It's going to be like who they deem is a terrorist. Cause like there's been cases, you know, even, you know, people who weren't terrorists, but they thought maybe they were associated with a terrorist. Why did they think, you know, like, what did they do that they thought that person was a terrorist? You know what I mean? So if you're even just associated with someone who they think is a terrorist, then they could kind of deem you a terrorist. And you see how that kind of trickle down effect there.
Yeah.
It's very disconcerting.
Yeah. And it's difficult because, I mean, especially making laws on like, on this like new technology and stuff. So we don't know what direction we're even going to go in, you know, the next 10, 20 years from now, and how that might affect what laws we already made on it. You know what I mean? Like we don't know what something like the Patriot Act might mean 10 years from now or 20 years from now, or how that might be interpreted, you know, or used against us because technology changed in a way where it might be easier for them to spy on us.
Just to throw this out to any of our listeners. Also, Obama had signed the Patriot Sunset Extension Act, a 4-year extension of 3T provisions in the act. So, you know, Mr. Super Liberal, you see, because he was charismatic as fuck and like people bought into his fucking, since he was black, he could really do no wrong, and like he actually extended on that shit. Mm-hmm. Like one of the biggest glaring flaws within Bush's presidency, you know, Obama decided to extend on that. And yet, you know, this is, you know, the black liberal guy, like, oh my God, give me a break. It's such bullshit. No, honestly. Well, the first term, I didn't the second, but you know, the first term I actually voted for Obama, and it's a historic moment, first black president. Okay. When I really like just the thing that really like had me like super extra critical of Obama, it was when he was had actually sent drone strikes over, and those drone strikes actually ended up killing kids. And at the same time that drone strike was going on, he was delivering a speech where he quoted Martin Luther King Jr. And for me, like, that was just so repulsive. I was like, you're going to like sit here and be preaching about a man who stood on nonviolence while you're murdering fucking kids. I get it. It's all for the Middle East. Like, that's a problem, you know, but fucking like, all right. But still you know, I don't know how I feel about, you know, the whole quote unquote necessary evil kind of thing, but regardless, kids are dying because of this issue. And like, you know, so even, you know, when kids are in America die, like, you know, those tears are shed, and we saw that from him. But then also, like, are tears not shed for, you know, these kids who we're supposed to be fighting for if we're going to war, like trying to stop this terrorism.
And we don't.
Are tears not shed for them when they get hit by drone strikes? And that wasn't shown ever.
And they won't show that, no.
You know, and so I have a real problem with that fucking, you know, like disregard of life. We're like, yes, those are the enemies. Yeah, no, like, you know, I mean, I'm not naive, but literally, children are dying, and you're quoting Martin Luther King Jr. like, at the moment you're sending off a drone strike, like that just that really bothered me. I guess I'm not one who's easily triggered, but you know, like, all the kids use that term now, the trigger. But like, but no, that shit triggered me really hard. I was like, oh, you're gonna quote MLK right now, are you really? Mm-hmm. While you're killing kids, and like I get it. Like that's not a position anyone wants to be in, of like having to give the go ahead on that action. But it's like, like it was simultaneous, you know, and I don't know, that really was disheartening for me. And not to mention all the other footing he did.
Saw his presidency was like, it was like he realized that he was the first black person in office, and he was like, all I gotta do is just like not fuck up. As long as I don't make any major.
What's the problem with his whole? He did the complete opposite of all of his campaign running. You know, he was basically like this brand. By the time he was president, he wasn't even a man anymore. He was just this brand for change.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got into office, he was so fucking conservative and so just like light on issue. He went so middle ground on everything. And it's like, you're like, you ran on the basis of change. And you're going to go middle ground on like literally everything. I can't even remember right now. I can't recall like one instance of where, you know, he really took a strong stance on something. He tried to hit middle of the ground for everything. And that's why after, you know, his first couple years really backfired on him. And then like, you know, and yes, there was a lot of racism against him to where when he didn't get the job done, then of course, you know, that really prompted for, you know, the House and Congress and stuff to be took back over by the right. Right. But, you know, but that's because like he completely backtracked on everything he stood for. You know what I mean? That's what happens when you try. I feel like when you try to go and appease everyone.
Well, that's kind of what
I'm trying to appease everyone. Then you're gonna do nothing for anyone. You know, to actually get shit done. Like that's why, you know, despite all, like, I'm very against Trump. Like we've mentioned, like Trump's trade policies. I'm very against on him on certain aspects with the environment, but you know he got the tax refund. He did a lot of what he sought out to do for the first 100 days,
or at least made an effort to.
Well, yeah, because remember, like I'm sure you've read his 100-day plan of like what do you want. And he actually, and even what he didn't get done, he made steps towards doing. Like something, because you know what I mean, he didn't pussyfoot about it. He didn't go, oh well, I'm gonna try to like appease people. He's like, no, like so it's a weird thing. It's a fucking crazy of the president, you know, because one thing I always shit on Trump about. You know, like, because like I say, like, well, his divisiveness and how he goes about things, like that's just terrible leadership. Like, you know what I mean? But then also, you have to be, but I don't really see it as divisive, but some people may, but of just an like standing your ground, like strongly on certain issues. And Obama didn't do that. And because of that, shit backfired bad. And whereas, you know, despicable as Trump is in certain areas, you know, he does stand his ground on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trump probably wouldn't be president right now if Obama hadn't been elected before him, because people needed, you know, people wanted change. So they voted for Obama. Obama just kind of, once he got elected, he just kind of tried to please everybody. And then people were like, no, we need real change. So
they're like, fuck it, we'll go Trump.
And
they're like, even if this goes bad, it's going to be change.
You're getting changed whether you like it or not now.
Yeah.
You don't know what the change is going to be until it
happens. Yeah, man. Hey, that's what, dude, I've been eating a lot of popcorn lately.
It's been entertaining. I'm enjoying it. I think 4 years is enough, though. I really hope he doesn't get reelected. I think 4 years will be more than enough to.
So who's going to take him down? Is it going to be Kamala? Is it going to be Jay-Z? Sean Carter?
right, 50 Cent?
Stop it, no.
Eminem?
Oh, God.
Gotta say Detroit.
Oh man. Yeah, right. Because Obama saved Chicago. Right. Is Trump gonna save New York then?
New York doesn't need
to save. Save us. Yeah, this is the dude. Don't ever put faith in a president. Like, what are you doing?
The rest of the world needs to be saved from New York.
That's my sense on it. Like, I know people fucking suck, but fuck put faith in humanity. Cause like really we're all we got. Like the birds aren't gonna save us, the cockroaches aren't gonna save us. We're really all we got. I don't know, maybe the dolphins will save us. They may have a secret operation down underwater and they're like creating some advanced technology. I don't know. They don't have thumbs, but it's a possibility. Maybe they can like create this shit with their echo technology and, the dolphins will lift us out of this. And, you know, they'll come to the land and they'll be like, actually we could walk the whole time and we will be saved by dolphins. Like we're like, oh, we knew you fuckers were smart. And we're like, yeah, we just couldn't show you how much because like I don't know. No, but like yeah, we're all we got, so
yeah, at least for now.
At least for now. dolphins are aliens. That's her aspect. So yeah,
I
mean,
I wanna be saved.
Yeah.
Help us.
And on the note of dolphins and aliens saving us, I think that's a good point to end this one.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
We'll try for Friday, I guess.
It takes these trials to triumph and true. Can we see through the glass darkly at the final hour?
I can't breathe in the space that's filled with your sound. A spade in this town, dug a hole that I can't get out. I can't figure it, I can't figure it out.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.